BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hi, I'm Andrew Harding, and this is Seriously from BBC Radio 4. This week, poison. In South Africa, a former president claims he's the victim of a sinister international plot. But who would want to kill Jacob Zuma? In the first of five episodes, meet the perfect revolutionary. Picture an old man standing outside his house on a steep hillside. He looks sturdy, cheerful too, grinning broadly and joining in when some neighbours turn up to sing old Zulu songs. Later, he'll head indoors to join some of his many children and grandchildren dancing together for a TikTok video. Jacob Zuma has plenty of reasons to be cheerful. He's lived an epic life. The poor goat herder who joined South Africa's liberation struggle, went to prison, then followed Nelson Mandela's footsteps to become president. No wonder Zuma's trademark is his chuckle.
I fell instantly in love with him, instantly under his spell. The way he speaks, the way he relates, the way he laughs, the way he calms you down. Some of us would have given our lives for him.
But the laughter is masking something. People have noticed it when he's served tea or food. A hesitation, a suspicion, a fear.
I have survived attempts to kill me.
For years, Zuma believes powerful forces have been trying repeatedly to poison him.
People looking to poison me, or being instructed by their handlers to do so, finally poisoned. A very dangerous poison.
He's serious about this. You could say obsessed. South Africa's security services have gone to extraordinary lengths to check Zuma's food.
There were so much resources that were dedicated to protecting the president. This would include the toxicology unit. So you would expect that at least we could detect the poison.
A significant amount of money appears to have been spent on this unit. What amount was spent?
It was 1.8 million rand cash per month.
Zuma's fear of poison is strange, but not unique, not in a country with a past as tortured as South Africa's.
When that chemical hits you, within an hour, you start vomiting, you're throwing out, you start sweating, you are shaking, and can't walk, can't move. You are lying down like a lump of flesh and bones, but still conscious.
Welcome to Poison, a story of one man's toxic obsession and the battle for South Africa's future. To understand Zuma, or at least to put his fears in some perspective, we need to travel back.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Back in time, to the South Africa he grew up in. I'm driving inland now on a very windy little potholed country road, heading away from the coast, away from the Indian Ocean, and up into what's known as Zululand. Beautiful here. There are these huge fields of tall green sugarcane, the tops bristling in the wind. I'm heading to Nkandla, a tiny farming town where Jacob Zuma was born in 1942. So this is the bare hillside where Jacob Zuma used to herd goats and cattle as a boy. Pretty tough rural upbringing. There's a woman with two kids over there. She's chopping a thorn tree for firewood. I'm heading down a path now towards a small cottage, homestead, where I'm told one of Jacob Zuma's close cousins, Kanya Zuma, still lives. So I'm sitting with Kanya Zuma, who is Jacob Zuma's cousin. You're 77 years old, right?
Yeah.
And we're in your homestead. And lots of chicks and chickens around us. That's the noise you can hear.
His laugh is just like his cousin's.
We grew up in one big polygamous family. Jacob was very smart. He had no fear of the cold. In winter, as a small boy, he would just wear his very short khaki shorts, tied with his scout belt, and he would be naked on top. We were looking after the cows, after the goats, and everything. And we played stick fighting, and he was very good at that. He could beat up anyone.
This is the world that shaped Zuma, a world of polygamous marriages, of Zulu culture and traditional medicine, of powerful chiefs, and stories of battles against British invaders. Zuma's mother was too poor to afford schooling for her son. He would later talk of his frustration as the other children went off to study.
I was keen to go to school. I wanted to go to school, but the circumstances just did not allow me to do so. But I had no father. My mother was working. The misery and poverty and struggling mother. As a boy, I faced the world without a father. I began to realize how hard the world was.
So at the age of 16, Zuma left home, heading to the coast to find work, and in the process properly encountering South African apartheid. A brutal, racist system designed to keep the black majority firmly under white control.
I had to find some odd jobs, helping in gardens, working in the shops, cleaning and everything that was possible for me. It was not a good experience.
2 years
After working for 2 years for some white guy in Durban, he went missing. It was only later that we discovered he was arrested because he joined the resistance forces against the apartheid government.
Zuma was quickly drawn into the fight against apartheid. Black ANC activists on the streets, an outspoken black lawyer, Nelson Mandela, forced into hiding.
There are many people who feel that it is useless and futile for us to continue talking peace and non-violence against a government whose reply is only savage attacks on an unarmed and defenseless people.
I think joining the ANC and the trade union movement was an important decision that I took that changed my life. I wanted to participate in the fight against oppression, and I've done that.
Zuma joined the armed wing of the ANC, Umkhonto weSizwe, the spear of the nation. But just like Mandela, Zuma was caught and convicted in 1962 of plotting to overthrow the apartheid regime. Both men were sent to a notorious prison.
A small, flat, rocky island northwest of Cape Town. The ocean around it is icy cold, and there is a dangerously strong current. Nobody has ever escaped from there. Mandela and other leaders such as
Zuma was sentenced to 10 years on Robben Island. He was 20, an uneducated revolutionary, joining Mandela and other older icons of the struggle.
We travelled to Robben Island together with about 61 other prisoners. We stayed together in the same cell. He did 10 years and I did 15 years. Actually, we were very good friends.
This is Ibrahim Ibrahim, 84 years old now.
We were sleeping on the floor. Well, they only introduced beds when I was already 14 years in prison.
And it was here, in prison, that Zuma finally received an education.
He had very little knowledge of English. And many of us, including myself, then assisted him in his studies. We registered him into a college, and then he progressed very, very well. He was reading Tolstoy, Anna Karenina. Well, yeah, he liked Shakespeare. I think he liked Macbeth very much. The important thing about Zuma, he was a very, very popular person on Robben Island. He was an extremely, extremely disciplined person. So when he left prison, we were very hopeful that he would perform very well. He would be a disciplined cadre, and he would, go quite high up in the organization.
So the man who emerges from prison is popular, disciplined, a self-made, Shakespeare-loving freedom fighter, which makes what happens next so much stranger, so much sadder. For a glimpse of that future, let's leap forward half a century to the present day, back to Jacob Zuma's hillside home, back to the pensioner we met at the start of this episode, a man convinced his enemies are trying to poison him. We're back here now because a police convoy is winding up the narrow road towards the village of Nkandla. They've come to arrange for Zuma's arrest, to lock up South Africa's former president. Outside the gates, a crowd quickly gathers, Zuma's allies blocking the police.
We are prepared to lay our lives. No policeman will come here and want to take President Zuma to jail.
And so a standoff develops, a potentially dangerous one.
If President Zuma ends up going to jail, there is the very serious possibility of unrest and instability. This thing is going to go up, will explode.
And as Zuma's supporters block the roads and defy the police, they believe his life is at risk too. After all, if he's not safe from poisoners in his own home, what might happen to him in prison?
You were worrying that in prison he might be poisoned.
Well, we've all expressed those concerns, and I'm pretty sure that those concerns were with him and are still with him now.
How did it come to this? The struggle hero who ended up besieged in his own home, obsessed with poison, defying South Africa's democratic state. Those who know him best, the man, for instance, who slept beside Zuma for a decade on Robben Island, can hardly bear to watch.
It's a very sad story. As I said, that many of us had great hopes on him. And somehow something went wrong.
In the next episode of Poison, a dive into South Africa's murkiest secrets.
They were excited by all kinds of very, very grim alternatives and substances. The South African security establishment wanted to find poisons that would affect blacks differently to whites. They believed that there were biological differences they could exploit.
Poison was written and presented by me, Andrew Harding. The producer was Valdi Karelser. It was mixed by James Beard. If you're tempted to download all five episodes of Poison now, just search for Seriously on BBC Sounds.
Hello there, I'm Richard Osman. Before you go, yes, I know you've switched off already, but in case you haven't, I want to tell you about my new Radio 4 podcast, The Birthday Cake Game, a brand new comedy quiz that poses one simple question. Do you know how old people are? By which I mean, how old, say, is Bruce Willis? Now, I know all you're doing now is thinking about how old Bruce Willis is and not listening to me, but I can tell you, each episode I'm joined by three celebrity guests who battle against each other to see how old celebrities are that week. Richard Gere.
I'm still enjoying the assertion that Richard Gere has always been old.
Yeah.
What a beautiful baby, Mrs. Gere. And unusual grey hair.
So old, your baby.
The winner takes home a birthday cake, a very special birthday cake from a supermarket I can't mention, in the shape of an insect I can't mention. You know the one I'm talking about. So tune in to find out who comes on top and see if you can beat the players and score higher at home. That's The Birthday Cake Game. Listen and subscribe right now on BBC Sounds. How old is Bruce Willis?